Okay, so this is Slack Debate episode 3.
Woo!
With Keith and Joel. Introduce yourself, Joel.
Hi, I'm Joel.
And Michael.
Hi, I'm Michael.
So I thought to sort of start us off before we get into any big, bad, super deep topics. I actually do have a beer in front of me, but I wasn't necessarily going to drink today. But I feel much better now because of what happened to me yesterday.
Okay, so
let me regale you guys. So I stayed at my friend Matt's house all Christmas break. He was gone for a week. He let me stay at his cool place, and it almost felt like being in a hotel. Like I'm in like a real apartment that's got like a good shower and not like the garbage pit where I live. So that was nice. And but you know, it was like kind of lonely-ish because I you know, I saw you and I hung out with Brad, but that's about it. Everybody was gone for Christmas, so just hanging out by myself. Then Matt got home yesterday, and it's like, yay, all right, Matt's home. So we downloaded the interview, and we watched that, and I happened to have... How big was that thing of rum you gave me, Joel?
It was a 40 ounce or 200-something mils. I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't, like, huge, but it was...
It was, like, a mid-sized bottle.
Right. And I had, like, a little bit before, but it was mostly all still there. It was this stuff called Kraken, and I didn't...
That rum, yeah, that's my sister's fiancé. That's every birthday and Christmas, I always buy him that rum. That's all he ever wants.
It's super good. I've never had it before, but, like, so I didn't have anything to mix it with, so I just started mixing it with water, and then I went on to mixing it with nothing, And basically, yeah, we watched the interview, and then I missed the train. So he lives at Davisville, so I had to walk down to Bloor to catch... I didn't have to walk. I guess there's the night bus on Yonge. But I wanted to take a little walk. So as I walked down to Bloor to catch the bus home, I was just drinking it the whole way till it was suddenly gone.
Till you became the Kraken.
Yeah. Well, I just remember thinking, like, it was like a good, fun drunk, though. Like, I was really just feeling good about the world and just feeling connected to things. And I started imagining, because Yonge Street at night when no one's around, it was like 2 in the morning, just could be anywhere. I was trying to pretend I was in Belfast for some reason. I was like, just imagine if I was just somewhere else in some weird town right now. But by the time I got to Bloor, things had taken a turn for the worse because that much alcohol is just too much alcohol for me. So I started...
How big was the bottle? Was it a 26er?
I think so.
See, I don't know, like turns
I don't know
and stuff.
These are just numbers.
Is it like the regular size bottle?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it wasn't like the Mickey size.
No, no, no.
So yeah, so it was a full size bottle. So, and was it just you or Matt?
I know you can get... No, it was just me. And because I know you can get bigger. I've seen bigger ones.
Yeah, there was the bigger one. And then there's like the 1.75 liters, but you probably had... 26er, which is 26 ounces.
It was a lot.
Sorry, it was just you?
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit, in one night?
Yeah. So, if anyone wants to hear the effects of that, actually I recorded a segment for my 7 Days podcast that I got to edit tonight. And put
I absolutely
tomorrow.
Want to hear that.
This is the 7 songs that I like from my past episode. Anyway, and actually it's a downer, that episode. But anyway, just recording stuff and it was all great and everything. But then I get down to Bloor, and all I got to do is wait for a bus and, you know, put in my token and go home. But I ended up, like, sitting at this bench. And Bloor is, like, for anyone who doesn't know Toronto, basically Bloor and Yonge are the two big streets. That's where the subway goes. Those are kind of, like, the most busy, craziest streets or whatever. And... But it was 2:30 in the morning, so it was a little less busy then. But basically, I just sat there feeling terrible. I was like, oh, God, I feel so bad. Like, I was just like wishing I could throw up, but I just don't throw up. But then I had this rumbling in my tummy, and I was like, oh, I think I got to take a shit. This is not the place, but if it'll help me feel better, fuck it. So I somehow found a little alleyway, like, off the side of this super busy street, and I like, ducked in. And just like took a homeless man shit, and luckily these boots I've got, they just have zippers, so they're easy to take on and off. So I took off one boot, pulled off my sock, used my sock to wipe my ass. Super hobo time. And then I stumbled over to the street, and there was a cabbie, and I was like, just fuck it. Even though it's just straight ahead, like it's the easiest ride, and I just have to wait for a bus and like just take me home. So it was like a $27 cab ride, but I gave him $40 and was like, just keep it. Thank you for saving me. And then I felt awful all day, but now I feel better.
Okay.
So that's what I've been up to.
Wow. Slack Debate, you heard here.
So I guess, really, the point of that whole story was, let's discuss the situation regarding the film The Interview. So has anyone else seen it?
No.
Not yet, no.
I would have, but Pirate Bay got taken down, so...
Yeah, that's a kick in the balls, right? Ever since Pirate Bay went down, I've had to buy things. There's a documentary that just came out about Death From Above 1979, the Toronto Sensation band, and I couldn't steal it. It's not on Kick-Ass Torrents, so I had to buy it. Yeah. And this movie, I bought it. Oh, fuck it. It's kind of nice in a way to buy these things. It makes me feel kind of good.
ISO Hunt has put it back up, or at least the old Pirate Bay, they put it back up. So
cool.
And that was like within minutes. Because you can't take those guys down, apparently.
It's not even, I'd say, not particularly important to have actually seen that movie. It's just, you know, whatever, it's a comedy, it's kind of funny. Kim Jong-un does get killed in it, so that's understandably a sensitive issue. So, I've blabbed enough. What do you guys think about all this stuff that happened?
The hack of Sony, I mean, that sucks. That sucks for Sony, right? But I feel like the posting of it on Pirate Bay, if taking down Pirate Bay was because of that posting, I don't agree with them taking them down.
Wait, can you explain that? Sorry.
I don't think they were related, right? I think Pirate Bay just got raided independently.
No, apparently it was because of the Sony hack. Because all the movies were available, it was just like they could link the two things, and then they could charge them with more of a... I don't know.
But does that mean they've just been, like, putting off getting rid of the Pirate Bay all this time, and they could have just gotten rid of them whenever? Like, because the way I understood it, I didn't really look into it, but was, like, that there was, like the local laws, they were in Sweden now, were they, somewhere?
Basically, like, the Pirate Bay has been, they have been arrested, they have been charged, they've been, one of the guys actually fled to Thailand. But they got everybody all at once, and it really was linked to this, to maybe not the interview per se, but
I don't think the interview actually got leaked because the hacker group didn't want it leaked because they don't want anyone to see it.
Right. It was a lot of other stuff ended up getting posted on Pirate Bay, so that was a big push. So I think Sony International made it clear that this was a priority to be taken down, and as we may or may not know, when a corporation wants something done, it gets done.
Still seems so weird to me. I mean, I guess I didn't know anything that had anything to do with the Pirate Bay, but it seems like the Pirate Bay should have been taken care of 10 fucking years ago. It's just been a constant, like, sieve just leaking out, stealing.
It has gone down before.
Repeatedly.
So it's like, this is not anything new to me, and I didn't know it was connected to Sony. I'm honestly not convinced it's connected at all. This is just a thing that happens every couple of years to me. I don't know.
Yeah, because I feel like if Sony really had that power, like, this would have happened long ago or whatever. I don't know. That's what I... Because it seems like they want to stop Pirate Bay. They just can't.
So, because when it went down, I looked up reasons. Because I'm like, oh, okay, what'd they do this time? What they get them? Is this a temporary thing, or is this forever? That's what I had read, is that it, because they were in possession of some of that hacked material, they maybe had more of a foothold in court to, like, severely punish them.
I guess that kind of makes sense, because the movies were stolen, because I guess people just had, like, they stole, like, terabytes and terabytes of data and stuff, and, like, people had movies on their hard drives and stuff, so I'm sure they got movies and that, whatever, they could somehow link back.
But they were getting email lists and, like, all sorts of stuff, like, Angelina Jolie got called some very nasty names by a particular exec through that.
I thought the funniest part of it to me was the Sony head, this chick, I can't remember her name, I didn't research any of this, was talking to some other movie guy about, what are we going to talk to President Obama about at this fucking, you know, awards party we have to go to, and they were like, oh, we can talk to him about Django or 12 Years a Slave, like, making racist jokes about the president. So that's where I thought it was funny, when people were like, was this set up? Was this a publicity leak? You know, did Sony do this just to get publicity for the interview? It's like, if they did, it's the boldest fucking... You don't make racist jokes about the president. Just like...
That argument is just... I heard it so many times, and I got so tired of, like, hearing it, because it's so stupid. It makes no sense. So for some shitty Seth Rogen movie that might make you know, might make $40 million at the end after everything's said and done. They're going to, like, put their company in a position where they look like they were hacked and they were, like, you know, they're a security risk and everything.
Yeah, and like, because it was, like, didn't Annie get leaked, too, like, before it was even out? And the script to the James Bond movie that they're filming right now, like, this would be a seriously bold, like, whoever this PR company is there, they would be the craziest.
It's just the kids, like, they're like hackers. Hackers are really it. Let's hack ourselves.
People just love a conspiracy theory and will just... They love to. They'll assume it's a conspiracy theory before even looking at, like, being rational and thinking about, like, does it make any sense? Like, Sony's, their names of their employees and all of their information were leaked. Like, like, it's insane.
That idea too, that no publicity, or, you know, there's no publicity is bad publicity. That's just one of the dumbest phrases I've ever heard.
This is definitely bad publicity. Yeah. Nobody looks good out of this.
Everyone knows who Hitler is, but I mean, come on. Now, how come no one has that last name anymore? Like, I mean, I like jumping straight to Hitler. You know, people will learn that about me as the show goes on, I'm sure.
But then it's also, you find out how much, like, Seth Rogen and what's his nuts made on that on that movie, which is like. Seth Rogen, I think, made...
He made, like, 8, and James Franco made about 6 because Seth Rogen co-wrote it and produced it and did the whole directed whatever.
Which, you know, that's a substantial amount of money, but if it makes, you know, 10 times more than that, I guess it's worth it, right?
Well, I'm curious to see what happens, too, because it actually was a kind of expensive movie. It was, like, $40 million, but people have been talking about this a lot, like, why don't they just release movies day and date that, you know, you can go see it in the theater or you can download it at home, but, you know, theater owners and stuff don't want that to happen. But if this works out for The Interview and it does fine, like, man, I would be scared if I owned a theater.
That's one thing I wanted to mention, because, well, I mean, a theater is still an experience and it's a night out, and like, maybe the VIP type theaters would be the way things would go, but, like, I don't know, I feel like this is a chance for, this is a perfect opportunity for us all to, like, speak to the studios and be like, you know, if we just speak with our wallets or whatever. Like, I bought it too, just because I think it's a good to support it, because that's what I would like. I feel like that's the future, right? Like, if I would love it for movies to be released at the same time at home.
Yeah, and I mean, I just wouldn't have gone to see it in the theater, because I'm just like, whatever, I don't care. But me and Matt, I was like, it was like $8 or something to rent it, but that's $8 that they wouldn't have got. So maybe, I am curious to see how this works out. But mostly, I guess what I was curious about, one of the various wrinkles of this story, is, so the idea was this hacker group that, you know, is affiliated with North Korea in some way or another. They're the ones responsible for this. So they're upset because, you know, this movie is, you know, making fun of their shitty country and their shitty their shitty dictator and everything. But, so, and then they made threats about, like, if this movie gets played, bad shit's gonna happen. And, you know, they insinuated, they referenced 9/11, like, maybe they're gonna... Maybe nothing would happen, but maybe theaters would get blown up or whatever. So Sony pulled it from theaters, and they're like, all right, we're not going to play this thing in theaters. So what I think is weird...
Well, Sony, I think, at first, they said that they didn't pull it, but then studios started pulling out, and I think then Sony was like, well, you know, they can say it's released all they want, but if no theaters are showing it, then, like...
Right, yeah, I guess it was, yeah, like, different theater chains all were like, yeah, we're not going to put, like, our people in. They brought up, like, that Aurora shooting that they're like, you know, we had no way of knowing that was going to happen, but if something like that happened now and we totally knew it could happen, like, there's no way, you know, it's just not worth the risk.
Yeah.
So I guess what I thought was interesting, though, is just another American, weird American view of things, is, like, President Obama himself and a bunch of other people were like, this was a mistake, we shouldn't have, this movie should not have been pulled from theaters, we should not kowtow to terrorism, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, really? That's the hill you want to die on? You think this dumb Seth Rogen movie should be shown in theaters just to show you're not weak against North Korea, even if someone might get killed? Like, I just didn't understand that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the policy of, like, you know, we don't kowtow to terrorists, because it means, like, once you open that door, you can always open that door, right?
I guess, though, I don't really understand it. And terrorism is unstoppable and terrifying.
But, I mean, don't you think this sets a dangerous precedent since the movie was pulled and everything? So now, anytime someone doesn't like something, they can just pull this shit and, like, get their way? Like, I feel like it sets a precedent that's dangerous.
That's sort of my point. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when... when my kids are like bugging me for a lollipop, and I'm like, no more candy today, none. And then I cave. It's like, okay, all we have to do is annoy the shit out of dad, and he'll cave. And so now it's a tactic. Now that's just what they do, right?
I guess, but I mean, I guess I would look at it more like case by case or whatever. I mean, this is North Korea, the craziest place on Earth as it stands, that has like nuclear warheads. And like, if anyone is going to really be crazy, it's them. And this is a movie totally making fun of them and killing their leader. Like, I mean, it's this pretty specific circumstance. It's not like, like, I don't see really how this is gonna happen again. Like, what's the next...
But some other terrorist group saw that this happened from somewhere else, and there's some other movie or some coffee chain that they don't like, and, you know, they can make these kind of threats. I don't know, like...
But, I mean, doesn't that insinuate that... Like, if the opposite happened, if they did just play the movies, is that going to make terrorist groups not do terroristy things? Like, I can't really imagine that making a difference.
I'm actually on the fence on this, because I agree with both points. Because it's like, yes, well, from a free speech sort of censorship standpoint, Mike's absolutely right. But you're also right, too, because it's like, oh, fuck. You know, like... If people are gonna die over a fucking movie, pull the goddamn movie. You could still watch the movie.
Yeah, and I'll say this is not ideal for a debating type podcast because I'm also on the fence. But but yeah, because if I owned a theater, there's no way I would show that movie. Like, I could show a different movie. Like, I don't need to show that movie to prove a point. And then if someone does die, like, purely on financial, for like legal reasons, if someone dies and I knew that it could have happened, I was warned and I did it anyway, I'm fucked, right? Like, I might lose my business, I lose my livelihood. And just also ethically, like, I knew someone could have died, I showed the movie anyway, someone died, that's partially on my shoulders, I could have prevented it. So, like, yeah. But yeah, definitely on the fence.
And I mean, I guess the thing is, like, saying, you know, this movie is not available anywhere, you cannot see this movie.
No, it's in select theaters.
Right.
Well, that's the other irony of it, is that this just kind of, it's like by, I guess they call it the Streisand effect, where there was this, I love this story, I just found out about this on Wikipedia the other day. This guy was taking photos of the shoreline in California to show how erosion was affecting stuff, and he just had a ton of these images, like, available so he could use them to try to promote his agenda or whatever. One of these pictures had Barbara Streisand's house in it, and before she started a lawsuit to get it pulled down, it had been downloaded 6 times, and 2 of those times were by her lawyers. And after she started the lawsuit, it got downloaded, you know, millions of times. And that's kind of what happened here, is they're trying to make this movie not be a thing. But instead, it's like it took down the gates. Instead of me having to go to a theater and pay $20 to see this movie, they're like, oh, okay, well, now it can just go straight into everyone's house. And you can pay $8 if you want, or steal it. Like, it literally made it way easier to see this movie and made everyone more interested in it.
It put it, yeah, on people's radar. Like, you know, my parents probably would never have heard about this movie, and now my dad's probably gonna watch it. Like, I don't know if he'll pay for it, but he's gonna watch it.
So I guess that kind of ties in a bit too, of like, are we really bowing down to terrorists by actually letting it be more accessible? Like,
so, and then here's another idea about, like, you know, the Pirate Bay going down, to bring this back full circle. Pirate Bay's been around for what, 10 years? So, sound about right?
Yeah, it's been around a while.
So we've had 10 years of everybody being able to steal everything, and yet Hollywood has not imploded on itself.
Yeah.
So my sort of question is, like, why don't we just have a steal it if you want, pay for it if you want model? Because it, like, it's not like, like, I feel like Canadian computer users don't really get prosecuted. And in the States, they don't really either. So
it really is kind of a case of, like, companies just ignoring reality. Like they can't stop it, whether they want to or not. And so it's, you just kind of got to embrace the way things are. And there is, like, upsides to it, where, like, with music, it seems weird to me now, the idea that we used to buy albums before we knew if we liked them. Like, that just was so weird. And even on, like, a higher level, like, I stole all the Uncharted games when I lived with Craig. Uncharted 1, 2, and 3, stole them all. But then, when The Last of Us came out, I bought it, because I'm like, I love Naughty Dog, they're amazing. So that's, like, a weird argument, is, like, I stole 3 of their games, and then I bought one. But if I didn't steal those three, I just wouldn't even know about them or give a shit, or I wouldn't have bought the one that I did buy.
Right.
And they can't stop me from stealing it, so it kind of doesn't matter what they think. You know, that's the real bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But they don't have to. I think Joel's saying that it should be, they should just kind of encourage it almost. Or not encourage it, but just turn the other way.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that's where you got to come up with new stuff like Netflix models and stuff, or Gamefly or something, and like you just have to roll with reality.
Yeah, and the other thing is like, well, music is a great example, because what's the what's happened to music is actually that music has gotten better because it's thank you. It's completely weeded out the crap. Like if you think about the pre-Napster era of music. There was so much horseshit, so much like buy an album, it sucks. There were a lot of good records too, but the majority were just manufactured crap, and it just got pushed through, pushed at you, and you really had to go seek out like good music, right? And then as soon as music basically became free from the sky, what happened is people stopped buying those shitty records. They just started stealing them for the one song they heard on the radio or whatever. And people who were still making like really quality records were still making about the same money that they always made.
And even that, like that, record stores are still fine. They sell vinyl now. Like it just adapted. Like has there been any system that has just collapsed since the internet? Like it
rental.
Seems like
movie rentals.
Yeah, although you know, there's
they still exist. Like I just rented Guardians of the Galaxy the other night on, you know, through my PlayStation.
Physical, like Blockbuster, like that.
Yeah, that one.
But that needed to go anyway.
There like, are yeah. still some of those things around. Like there's one by my house. It's so crazy. It's like they still have VHS tapes and they have DVDs. Yeah. So I mean, it's like a weird little convenience store. Then there's like Queen Video or whatever still. But yeah, you're right. That one, that's
those
basically
are all like
gone.
Boutique things. Like as an industry, as a market, I think it's pretty much dead.
Blockbuster, which was a massive like corporation, their management decided to ignore reality.
Yeah, they had they could have bought Netflix many times for a song, and they're like, nah.
Yeah, yeah. And then I mean, they just refused to adapt. They were stuck in their ways, and they had been doing great for so many years. And then that's how, you know, when you get confident like that, and you ignore like what's happening around you, then you get fucked.
I think game stores like GameStop, that type of stuff, that's not gonna last our lifetime. Those are gone, and
they can't.
Yeah,
because the thing with GameStops are if it wasn't for used games, there's no need for them to exist. Games are going more and more to digital. I mean, the EBs of the world are definitely fighting it. Like, what was the name of that? There was a Sony console that was before the Vita. It was like a PSP.
Oh, yeah. PSP Go.
But it had, yes, Go, and it had no UMD drive. And, like, the EBs were, like, boycotting it and, like, boycotting Sony for doing it because you had to buy games online. But, yeah, I mean.
It's weird, too, in that case, like, you can already see the future is obviously Steam. Like, they'll just have a system like Steam on Xbox and on PlayStation.
Oh, I mean, they do. The PlayStation Store, Xbox Store.
Right. But it's just, I guess the only thing now is, like, they still have to charge full price for games to keep parity with the brick-and-mortar stores. But once those stores are gone, then it'll be a whole, like, it'll just be better for everybody.
Because it makes zero sense to me that it's like, okay, this new game, whatever game is out now, what's a new game? Whatever.
Let's say GTA 5.
GTA 5 is $59 in the store with a case, all the instruction manuals, a physical disc taking up shelf space in a store, needs to be shipped to the store, needs to be manufactured and produced, $59. And then if I buy it at home, which is just downloading it from a cloud, it's $59. Like, it makes no sense. It should be cheaper, and I think it's just because of that. I think the EBs would be like, because as soon as they say, okay, these games are $49 if you buy them digitally, like, no one goes to a store anymore. EBs crumbles. Like,
yeah, I think it is. They still just, they need that enough, like, to sell, you know, the consoles and stuff, and, like, it's enough game sales that I think, yeah, Sony and Microsoft have to play ball, but it's not going to last.
All of the digital distribution games, like, what I love about it, like on the PlayStation Store, is they go on sale, and when they go on sale, they go on like crazy sale, you know. So like, I think I spent $20 like a few weeks ago and I got something like 6 or 7 games. I was like, amazing.
Yeah. Even like Craig was saying, he just got a PlayStation 4 and still he's gotten like a bunch of games. Like, I can't remember, you know, it'd be like $20 for Killzone or whatever. And it's like, yeah, that's fair. That's a good price for stupid Killzone. I'd pay $20 for that.
And in a lot of ways, this is helping us because like, these companies know they can't avoid the fact that GameStops exist and people will trade their games in. And when people buy used games, you know, the developers get nothing. So they're now forced to find ways to make games playable for longer. So now they're basically making it so you get your money's worth more. You know, a game, they don't want you to trade the game in, so they put in like online content and like whatever else that keeps you playing and playing. So now all of a sudden you're getting more for your money, and just so they can avoid you from trading it in.
Yeah, it's cool too because it does open up. Like, we're in such a cool time with games too, where it's just the disparity between. Like, isn't it weird to think, like, around PlayStation 1, say, there was no such thing as indie games, you know? Like, right, yeah. Everything was a quote-unquote AAA game, even though if you look back at that era, those games sucked balls. But every game had to at least pretend, Career Crisis had to pretend it was worth $60 and, like, that it was some game you would want to play.
Can't Stop Mr. Domino, you remember that one? That piece of shit? Oh, it was the worst. It was like if Katamari Damacy was a domino man who knocked over shit. I feel like it's a spiritual predecessor to Katamari Damacy, but anyway.
But I love the original version of Binding of Isaac. It was only like $5 when it first came out, and he sold 1 million copies. Like, what an amazing world we're in now. Like, it's so cool. Like, such a good time for video games.
And I think the other thing is, I also find it really weird that it's all like hippie rock while we're talking about video games. It's kind of a weird disconnect for me, but. I'm kind of going back to records and music from what Mike was saying about the manufacturing. Like, having... I'm all about things not being manufactured as much anymore because it's, like, wholly terrible for the earth. And so digital everything should be done, you know, especially for entertainment. It's fucking entertainment. Like, it... Why do these physical things exist? But then you look at like record stores, like vinyl. I don't actually know, being a vinyl collector, I don't know how harmful vinyl is to.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not great.
It's probably not. But one thing that I find really cool about vinyl right now is because everything's digital, there's such a crazy used market now where, like, you take Sonic Boom down the road, I would say that probably 60 to 70% of their stock is used. And then, you know, let's say 30% is new. And of that new, they're such limited pressings that they only come back if basically a run sells out, you know? Because nobody's going to risk on mass-producing records anymore. They do, like, small runs now. It's kind of fascinating how that's, like, become such a... No, it's become such a cool model. Thank God the door's over. I hate the doors.
Man, did you ever hear that Kids in the Hall skit though about the doors? So good. You got to steal a car, drive it out into the end of the desert. But I was gonna say with music, like, there it is. The collapse of Blockbuster really was shocking. I mean, those were everywhere. And like the Blockbuster in my hometown when I went back to visit is a Salvation Army now. Just like what was this big expensive space in a perfect location? Now it's just a garbage store full of other people's old junk. But like, it was weird how fast Blockbuster went down. But if any industry deserved to go down, and it's amazing they didn't, it was music. Because you remember how weird it was when everyone had MP3 players and all you wanted were MP3s, but you were expected to go buy a CD just so you could rip it to MP3 because you couldn't even listen to it like that anymore. And they really were, they thought that still was gonna work. And it wasn't until like iTunes integrated with iPods and made it. But that's interesting too, is like, you could still steal music, but suddenly there was a reason not to because it was a cool, forward-thinking, neat system.
And also, I mean, honestly, it was cheap enough.
Right.
99 cents a song. That was a perfect model because, you know, what happened, I don't know, like, when I transitioned from cassette tapes to CDs, there was an extra $10 charged on CDs.
Right.
And it was nonsense, because apparently the manufacturer of a CD costs 50 cents more than the manufacturer of a cassette, right?
I thought it was cheaper from what I, but maybe
it,
not.
It became cheaper eventually, but like in the initial stages, it was 50 cents more to manufacture a CD.
How much more?
$10 more.
Yeah, and then you get stuff like Australia and Japan where CDs are just like 40, 50 bucks for no reason, just because they could charge that.
And so the CD market was like that for years, where it was like a new CD was $25.99, was like the standard price for a CD.
I remember one of the last CDs I bought was the soundtrack for that movie Snatch, and literally the CD was significantly more expensive than the DVD would have been to buy, which has all the soundtrack on it, plus a movie, plus bonus features, plus all this stuff. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so like, so when people started stealing CDs, it's like, yeah, no shit.
Right. Yeah, even when I was reading that Steve Jobs book, the Walter Isaacson one, about that part about iTunes, where it was like it was still a bit of a struggle to get record companies on board. They're like, I don't know, I think we're gonna hold out with the CDs. And Steve Jobs is just like, what is the matter with you? Like, how many chops to this tree need to happen before you realize?
Yeah, and it's like immediately after it came out, it was a huge success, changed the music industry completely.
Well, and I remember,
we don't have iPhones today if it wasn't for iTunes, probably.
Completely. But one of the interesting things is what the result was in the record store almost, let's say, a year later, a year after, like, everything, legal downloads were out, as well as Napster. So, like, you're getting a two-pronged attack. If you own a record store, you're getting fucked from both sides. So suddenly records are $10. A year later, every new release is $10. Like, it's kind of crazy that, like, what, you could have done this all the time?
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, it really is kind of gross, the whole, like, I mean, there's a lot of things about, like, capitalism that I like. Like, you know, be people free to innovate and make their own businesses and do stuff. But that, I never liked that notion of, like, squeeze every penny you can. You know, and it's like, ugh. Like, because there were like five big record labels, I think, and yeah, and they all just kind of decided, like, hey, let's make everything be expensive, and it'll be great. And then, yeah, I remember when I first found out about Napster, because, like, sometimes you could find MP3s. Like, I remember I found this one FTP site where the guy had all the Nine Inch Nails, like, B-sides and all the, like, hard-to-find stuff all in this FTP, but it took, like, 20 minutes to download one song back then. But I remember for days and days I downloaded all that stuff, and it was cool. But that was rare. The first time I heard of Napster, it was... I don't know if anything, any technology has ever blown my mind that much before or since. Like, I was like, literally anything I typed, anything my little imagination could think of, because it was all peer-to-peer, it was right there. I was like, this is so... fucking insane. Like,
yeah. No, and like, if you think about, like, how Napster functioned, and we're not going to see that again for a long time, but can you imagine if that it was like experiencing, like, one of Tesla's inventions before Edison came and shut everything down, you know, and been like, wow, that was really great, and nothing has ever worked as good as Napster did.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, no, I mean, iTunes works better, but
it's
not free.
See, I mean, but I mean,
you get better quality. You don't get, like, bullshit stuff that's misnamed. And yeah, there was lots of problems with Napster.
To me, though, I mean, iTunes is unusable. I mean, I just have, like, a PC netbook, and I just...
Well, I mean, the iTunes store. Like, if you want to find a song, you're gonna find it. You gotta pay for it, but I mean, it's gonna be there. The quality's gonna be perfect. You know, you're gonna get all the art and everything. Like, it's, you know, it's better if you don't mind paying 99 cents a song,
I suppose. But I could find some really obscure shit on Napster.
And Napster, I mean, also, I guess it was, like, how long ago was that now? Over 10 years ago? That was, like...
2000.
Yeah. So, I mean, especially taking that into account, it was unbelievable.
Late 90s. There's a really cool movie, Downloaded. Have you seen it? It's a documentary about Napster, rise and fall. It's really cool.
Nice. I haven't seen that. Yeah. I'll watch that.
It's on Netflix, I think.
Yeah, so, like, yeah. Yeah, 1999, man. And I remember, like, I had a CD burner, and, like... I was doubling my collection because, you know, I was just borrowing friends' CDs and just burning them. Yeah. And that was such a, like, it's such a taken-for-granted technology, but back then it was like... It's like owning your own record store in a weird way.
So that's a thing. So yeah, like the music industry somehow, only bit by the pure might of how much people like music, did they survive with their hard-headedness. Blockbuster, totally gone. Like we said, game stores are going to go. What do you think about movie theaters? Are those going to last our lifetime? Because I really don't know. I feel like as soon as that tide turns where they just aren't profitable anymore, they'll all just turn into something else and they'll just be gone.
I mean, I think they see the writing on the wall. Like, you see all these VIP. You've done VIP, right?
Yeah, although when me and Joel saw Guardians of the Galaxy VIP, it was amazing. That was easily the best 3D I've ever seen. But then me and Craig saw Interstellar 3D, VIP, and I don't give a shit. This is not worth the money this time. So I don't know. As a big salvation thing, VIP, I don't know if it's going
to
do it.
I think what they need to do is go more towards the experience. Make it like a night out where you get a dinner and you watch a movie. Like, if it's just like people cramming into a movie theater, like I'd much rather, I'll pay for it still, but have a bunch of friends over and watch it in my living room or my friend's living room or whatever. Like, yeah. I don't need to go to a theater. I don't need that experience.
Because this is the thing, is like now, like if, you know, we've got kids, we want to go out see a movie. The last thing I want is to be surrounded by a bunch of teenage dickheads, like just like, not giving a shit, texting through half the movie. This sucks. You know, like, yeah, I agree with you. Like, the VIP thing would be good if there was a restaurant attached and it was a whole...
I think, too, they really got to kind of up their game even a little more with VIP, because part of the problem with Interstellar, like with when we saw Guardians of the Galaxy, like, beautiful, crystal clear. Like I said, the 3D is the first time I liked 3D. Like, I was actually glad it was in 3D, which has never happened before. But in Interstellar, it was slightly out of focus, and the low end was way too high, and it was like all the bumping stuff was crazy.
Oh, well, that was just like a problem with the theater or something.
Yeah, well, I definitely, because I used to be a projectionist, and I definitely felt the pain of that poor projection guy, because I mean, I've done that many times where I just am busy and I didn't quite get the focus right, or I was envisioning, like, I've seen that sound. It's like a mixing thing. It's like bigger than you with all these knobs on it. It's crazy.
Right.
But they should have, if VIP is really going to be VIP, they got to have a dedicated person like they do with IMAX or something, who's there making sure, who's not looking after 10 theaters. He's only looking after VIP, and they don't. So it's not VIP enough.
But I mean, I would guess, and I have no basis of knowledge for this, but I would guess that projectors have to be simpler now that they're all digital. Like, you don't have reels to deal with it. I would imagine it's easier, maybe?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, like, it wouldn't have been hard to fix, you know, these problems. But I mean, like,
I mean, one guy wouldn't need to run around switching reels and everything. Like, one guy could probably handle a couple theaters okay?
Yeah, I mean, like, I used to do, I think we only had 7 in my theater, but I did all 7. And yeah, generally, it's not a big problem. But if you're paying $25 for a VIP ticket, like, that's where you gotta like, if I'm at a $7 movie at the fucking Magic Lantern or whatever, and it's a little out of focus, whatever, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But this was our big VIP thing, and it's like, it's like, you gotta go all in with this shit if this is gonna work.
So in Thailand, that was the first time I had been to like a VIP style theater, where they actually bring you food and they give you a blanket, and it's like a real, like, cool experience. And, you know, it's Thailand, so they also give you a complimentary alcoholic beverage as well.
I thought you were going to say, like, small child to rub your feet.
No, it's a ping pong show at the beginning. No. Yeah, and that was amazing, going to see movies in Thailand. It was just like, for their VIP, it made so much more sense for it to actually feel like VIP.
And that's how they've kind of got, they've tricked us. Over all the years, we're used to movies being a certain way. And now just the fact that I can have a beer while watching a movie is exciting. And it's like, oh, but like, they're offering me something. I still have to buy the beer. Like, it's nothing. But it's just like, I just think that's probably, you know, if that's the way movie theaters were, where you would get a meal and you would enjoy it. I don't know. I think that's better. I think that's the way things are going. And like, I agree with Keith. The way VIPs are now is not enough. Like, I need to up their game, but I think that's the logical next step, I think.
I think, though, maybe, like, this is where I really do wonder if, like, you know, the next generation just won't know what movie theaters are, is that all this VIP type stuff of like, oh, this could be a little better, that, whatever, is still not as good and not as VIP as that me and Matt just got to watch the interview on his brand new, he has just got a new TV. It's huge, great big, awesome TV. It's hooked up to his computer, so we just got the movie through Google Play or whatever, and that was as VIP as it gets. We're just hanging out, eating chocolates and drinking rum, and like that's still better than anything they could do.
Which is why I would encourage all listeners, both of you, if you want to watch the interview, yeah, don't go to a theater and don't steal it. Just rent it online, whatever it is, $5 to rent it. I just think this is a great opportunity for us to tell the studios what we want, and this is a great way to do it.
And maybe we'll finally get some use out of all our 3D TVs that we all bought and never got to use.
I don't have a 3D TV, but I will definitely, yeah.
The curved 3D, that's what you really want.
Oh, man.
So that's our activism for this episode, is go pay for the interview.
We didn't even get to any of the content, but that's what this is. We got stuff, we'll do another one.
I think our activism is basically like, it's all falling apart. So let's pick how it falls apart, I guess.
Yeah, and I know it is weird too, like stuff like the that I stole all the Uncharted's, but I paid for The Last of Us. But I still feel like I really feel like kind of good about that. Like I was like proud that I supported this company eventually, you know. And it's a nice idea that I should have supported them all along. But again, it's like, but how would I have? Like, I just wouldn't have played Uncharted games ever. Like, I just feel like this rough and tumble future where you can steal everything, it's not so bad.
It's not so bad.
Yeah, like, it's...
Unless
you're Blockbuster.
One more parting shot about terrorism. Did nobody in North Korea see Team America? Because that should have been an apocalypse on our doorstep.
Although Team America was much more critical of America as well. Yes. You know, it's called World Police and everything.
Yes, true.
Like, it was weird. Like, I don't know about the interview. It's weird. I don't quite know. I mean, I liked it enough. It was kind of funny. And it made some points about... But it's just shit everybody already knows. Like, people are starving in North Korea, and they have, concentration camp stuff going on. And it's like, I don't know. It's weird. I didn't really like it or dislike it. But yeah, I definitely don't think that's the hill to die on. It's some kind of... Because I saw all these commentators talking about, like there's groups that are going to try to sneak the movie into North Korea, and maybe it'll slowly have some effect and it'll help people, blah blah blah. It's not going to help shit. It's a fucking stupid Seth Rogen movie.
Yeah. That's like, let's just, you know, let's not make it more than what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to say another thing on this topic before we end. But I think everyone needs to just, what needs to stop, I think, is I just find it the sensationalist, like, everyone just freaking out about everything is just so annoying, where it's like all these emails coming out, like these jokes about Obama and Sony's racist and they had to apologize. It's like they were just making private jokes to each other that weren't even that funny, but whatever, they were little jokes they were making to each other, wasn't meant to be seen by anyone else, and then the world saw it, and it was, that's not the issue isn't that these people made private jokes between their friends. The issue is that this hack happened to begin with, and like, why is the only thing being reported is what these people are saying in private emails? It just feels like it's a fucked up.
I'm kind of gonna disagree on that, because it just exposes them. These are the
that people at Sony are real people, like everyone else.
Well, yeah, they're real, real fucking dickhead people. Yeah, absolutely. That's all. They're just dickheads. That's it.
Well, that's one thing I wonder. So about this, like, notion that, you know, you really can't stop digital theft, like it's always going to happen, so you just got to adapt to it. What is the deal with hackers and things being hacked? Because it seems like Sony has an awful track record. They get hacked every fucking year.
Yeah.
So is that something they're doing wrong, or is it just something they can't stop?
They're definitely not blameless. Like, they must... They probably need to up their game in security, but like, you know, hackers want to get into something bad enough, they will get in. It doesn't matter. You want to, like, I'm sure, like, you wanted to get into NASA bad enough, someone could in the world can find a way to get in.
That's one thing I always thought was weird is I mean, maybe this is kind of similar to like you know, when the what was that called, the fappening, when all those celebrity nude pictures got stolen.
Sure.
And it's like those two sides of it, where there's like, when it's really awful and horrible invasion of privacy that this happened, but the way that it could have not happened is if you don't have your pictures on a cloud, you know, like if they're just not accessible. And I always think that too with stuff like NASA or the FBI and all this stuff. Why is there stuff on the public internet. I don't even understand why it is.
Okay, so here, you know, the thing with naked celebrities, and those particular naked celebrities are known for their bodies and not necessarily their minds.
Right.
Yeah, and in their cases, they're just using their phones and it sends it to a cloud and they hardly know what's happening. And like, right. I'm not blaming them at all, but I really do think it's weird when you hear something like NASA or something or some government thing gets hacked and I'm like, why is the government just on the internet like that? Like, can't you go...
It's funny because like, it's like this idea that there's the internet and then there's the really deep dark internet and...
Couldn't there be though? Couldn't the American government have like their ARPANET thing again or something?
Well, unfortunately I think the genie's out of the bottle. Like the internet became public and state at...
But they still chose to connect their information to this network, you know? I mean, it's only there because they did it, because they put it there.
Then there's, like, you know, like social engineering and stuff, and, like, you know, getting into a company, even if it's not connected to the World Wide Web, but I'm sure they have some internal network, and if you can get on that network somehow,
right.
You know, you've seen sneakers.
Sure. but then it wouldn't, though, just be some guy in his basement that might break into the FBI. You know, like, it suddenly makes everyone...
But the other thing is that there's a physical infrastructure. That's the problem, is there's a actual physical infrastructure. If the FBI had their own satellite that was able to communicate worldwide, then great, yeah, they would have an unhackable thing because nobody would be able to figure out which satellite it was. But they don't.
Yeah, but again, I don't know, like, they're America, they can do whatever they want. Like, it seems like if they wanted to, they could. I don't know, it just seems weird to me that it's like just on that the civilian internet is the same internet that literal important things are on. I never understood that.
To me, it's kind of like saying, you know, like you have atoms, right, that make up everything. You can't have different atoms, right? Like, you can't just push some atoms aside and go, these are the FBI's atoms. Like, it's just everywhere at this point.
But what would happen if government, like, say, if American governmental institutions just never set up websites? You know, I mean, it worked before. Like, maybe it would make them a little slower and a little less, you know, like, I don't know. Just like, is it really worth it for them to have better access themselves if it also means giving the rest of the world potential access? Like, if it's real important shit,
they should just go back to 14.4 dial-up and no one will ever catch them.
They should go back to, like, file folders in a cabinet. Like, that's how the world used to work. I don't know. I mean, or again, like, I mean, if it's, I don't know, if it's like nuclear secrets and shit, I just don't know why it's on the internet.
I don't think nuclear secrets are probably on someone's Hotmail account. I'm sure that kind of stuff.
I'm really hoping that's in a file folder.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I'm going to look that up later and just see, like, what were the worst security breaches that ever happened? Because, I mean, I don't know, maybe there's nothing and it's that big a deal. Maybe it is all just Sony shit, but I don't know.
Well, outside of the NSA leaks, but, I mean, that the only reason we know about that is because that was Edward Snowden working to listen to people's digital conversations, right? So maybe the NSA just mainly operates with a file cabinet outside of when they're not listening to us. You know,
he didn't get all those documents.
Well, he was a data analyst, I believe. So he was actually working there.
So he took them. He stole them from inside.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's totally different. You got someone inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice old school Ocean's 13 style. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah. Ocean's 12.
But, oh, jeez. And he stole them because of his, like, his personal conscience, which is why he's kind of a fucking hero in my opinion. But that's me.
He's still, like, exiled and everything and living somewhere.
Yeah. But, you know, despite his exile, I think he's definitely being recognized as what he did was definitely a good thing.
Isn't there a movie? Someone did playing him in a movie?
Yeah, somebody's doing one. Benedict Cumberbatch is playing the WikiLeaks guy, I think.
You know, I was just thinking about him the other day because I saw his big face on a poster for something or other, and I think he's Doctor Strange, which I was disappointed by because there's so many other people I would prefer. Well, I just feel like he's a good example. This is really getting into just entertainment news or whatever. Don't overexpose yourself. I'm already so sick of Benedict Cumberbatch's stupid fucking face, and It just, I don't know.
The Hobbit, because you only have to hear his voice in that movie.
But again, yeah, he's just everywhere. And this happens with a lot of celebrities where they just get big and they're just everywhere. And then, and it's not good for your...
He's only been in like two or three things that I could think of.
But every big movie is him. It's always him. And like there's so many other people that I think would make such great Doctor Stranges. Even like Keanu Reeves would be an awesome Doctor Strange. That would be so awesome. But it's just Benedict boring ass fucking Cumberbatch. I just don't give a fuck about him. Anyway, that's totally off any topic.
Slackers. Slacktivate.
Woo! Also, that as a final note, the chocolate I put in my beer is delicious.
Oh.
Yeah, I had chocolate at the bottom of my mocha that hadn't been stirred in, so I put it in my beer, and there's little floaty bits of chocolate in this stout, and every time I get one, it's delightful.
Oh, nice.
So, nice.
Riders on the storm, riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out on loan. Riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road, squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday, let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet man,
the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house.